This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from St. John's Books, North Portland's full-service independent bookstore, offering new and used books on progressive politics, literature, poetry, titles for kids, and more. St. John's Books is located at 8622 North Lombard in St. John's. Information at 503-283-0032. And it's also been made possible in part by Oregon Children's Theater, presenting the world premiere of The Giver, the story of a boy learning of the tragic sacrifices his community has made for safety and security. The Giver runs March 5th, 11th, and 12th, 2 p.m. at Keller Auditorium, 222 Southwest Clay. Tickets at 503-228-9571 or Ticketmaster.com. Appropriate for ages 10 and up. Information about The Giver at octc.org.
And this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. On today's show, we feature the Monkey King, or Monkey King, at Tears of Joy Theater. Monkey King is a folk hero first made popular in the 16th century in one of China's most revered novels, The Journey to the West. The original legend dates back to the 6th century. Tears of Joy worked with master puppet artist Yang Feng in China to create this special performance of the Monkey King. And we'll talk a little bit about that and also get to see some puppets. Maybe. And in the latter part of the show, we hear an encore broadcast of Damali Ayo's The Paint Mixers. Damali went to paint stores in Portland to match different parts of her skin and came up with an audio art piece that examines race. This is Stage and Studio. Stay with us. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me in the KABU studio is Nancy Aldridge. Good morning.
Good morning, Dee Mae.
She's the artistic director of Tears and Joy and performer Amy Gray.
Hello.
And both from Tears of Joy Theater. They're presenting Monkey King, an original puppet theater piece. And I want to start talking about just the character and the story of Monkey King. I always want to say the Monkey King. The novel, Journey to the West, it began as a series of oral and written stories, and it featured these incredible, fantastical adventures of the Monkey King, and what you're presenting with Tears of Joy is one of those stories that's in this huge novel.
Exactly.
And it's called Monkey King. So tell us about what story this is.
This is Monkey King and the Bone Demon.
Ooh. We're already off to a good start.
And this story takes place while Monkey has joined the Tang Monk on the journey to the West. There are lots of stories before that when Monkey is much more of a rascal and more of a trickster than he is.
Those are the prequels.
Those are prequels?
Those are the prequels.
It's leading up to this story.
Yeah. Right. This is where Monkey really becomes a sort of a superhero bodyguard.
Right.
To a monk on a quest.
I mean, there's a huge series of stories. It's
right.
Like trying to talk about Coyote, and
right.
The trickster legends.
Precisely.
Of Native American culture. So that's why it's hard to say, well, this is what this is. But,
right.
That it's just a series of stories that are just, that teach, that enlighten, that are also just very supernatural, too.
Yeah. Monkey has certain supernatural abilities. He knows the 72 transformations and the art of flying on a cloud. He gave himself the name.
Great sage, equal to heaven.
There you go. I should know. I'm a monkey.
Yeah.
And
he makes people call him that, but he pretty much extorted that title from the holy people.
Right. The gods. Yeah. He lived in the heavens for a while, and he lived under a rock for another 500 years.
Right.
And, there's a lot.
He's been around.
A lot of stories.
He's been around. So you have Monkey King with you today.
I have one of our monkeys. There are actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I think there's more like 8.
8 different monkeys.
Are you counting the little one?
for all of his incarnations.
Well, they're just different puppets.
They're identical. They're different sizes. They have different and they have different mechanics inside of them. Yang Fong invented this method of puppetry. It's an old style combined with his new style.
So he has like I don't want to say stunt doubles, but I mean it's just like a series of different, you know, puppets that represent him at different stages.
Right. They're all the same
time.
Character.
Right. They're all the same character. And, so describe him, because, you know, the radio audience is going, what are they talking
about? Exactly. Well, these puppets were made for us in China. So they're very traditional and well-crafted. They're gorgeous.
They're quite beautiful and colorful.
They're carved from camphor wood.
And so we've got the traditional Chinese opera painting on the face with the white and the red eyes, red around the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the Chinese from the, I guess you're being authentic to the century too, from the 16th century. I mean, that's what it looks like, classical Chinese dress there.
Right. And Monkey always has a tiger skin skirt, I guess you could call it. And the costuming and the coloring of his costume is all very traditional.
And it's a hand puppet, and it's probably, what, about 2 feet or so? Or
he's about maybe 18 to 24 inches. And it's interesting because Yang Feng is a fifth-generation puppeteer. His family had been doing hand puppets for 200 years.
Yeah.
And then during the Cultural Revolution, they told him that his puppets were too small, and he had to make them bigger. So he invented these controls that could be used because a rod that controls the left arm, and it does things. And my hand is, my finger and thumb are controlling the neck, which controls the head, and my other three fingers are controlling two other little controls. So I have one control that I manipulate with my baby finger and next finger, and then
we need a webcam so people can actually see that. But then they'll have to come see the show. So Amy, who do you have? You brought in a gentleman that has a pig head,
General Zhao Baji.
Okay,
and he is a pig. He's a pig. It's okay to say it.
All right.
Yeah.
I didn't want to offend him. He's got some kind of dangerous weapon in his
hand. He does. He has his mighty muck rake, which is his weapon of choice. And just like Sun Wukong, Monkey King, Bajie is very recognizable. He has always traditional markings. He has the head of a pig.
Yeah, he's gray, though. He's a gray pig.
He's gray. I've seen him lighter gray than this. I've seen him pink.
And so he looks kind of formidable, actually.
He is. He's a classic sort of character that you'll find worldwide in a lot of traditions. He's the boastful general who's actually rather cowardly and lazy.
And is he in this show, then? How do they relate to each other?
Show? Yeah, we're like buddies. And he's my friend, and we give each other trouble.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I think he wants to...
You want to talk?
Yes.
General, it's so good for you to be on stage and studio today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you introduce Monkey King here?
This is my good friend, Brother Monkey, Sun Wukong.
Hello, Bajia.
Now, really, this show is titled Monkey King, but it's all about me.
It's true. He has much more stage time on it.
It's pretty much true.
It's pretty much true.
He has... He has a big fight, and he's the guy who learns something in this show.
Good. That's always a good journey.
He grows up a little bit.
Now, you talked a little bit about Yang Feng, but, you know, this piece was created originally in 1994.
Right.
So how has it changed? What have you been doing to, you know, in its recent incarnation?
Right. There have been some alterations in the script. I think Yang Feng didn't realize that we, as Americans, wouldn't just see certain things and know the reference that they're coming from. For instance, there's this headband on his head, and there's a story about that where the monk has a spell that he can say, and that will make the headband squeeze tighter on his head. So that is that's how the monk can control the monkey.
And something I love about these puppets is that all of the headbands are actually made out of Chinese Coke cans.
That's funny.
But we don't do that because it's too hard to explain. So that's not in the play
anymore.
So you've
changed some of the actual script.
Right. We did a few, yeah. a little bit of that. But the one person who isn't here, Lance Woolen, worked on these puppets and is in this show and is actually officially our director. So he's been very diligent and good with us in terms of trying to preserve as much of Yung Fong's show as possible.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm DMA Roberts. My guests are Nancy Aldrich, Artistic Director of Tears of Joy Theater, and performer Amy Gray. They're talking about their new production of Monkey King, and that opens this weekend at the Portland Center for the Performing Arts. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about the process of I guess, how this type of puppetry is different, say, from other types of puppetry.
How is this? Well, this is, I personally don't put myself into our shows very often, but I definitely wanted to for this one because it does require different skills. I'm becoming more, dexterous with my different fingers.
Show your puppet muscle.
I have a puppet muscle.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you where it is.
It's
in her hand.
Our puppets are usually not this specific in terms of their mechanics.
Okay.
But I really wanted to expand my puppet vocabulary by working on this show. Other puppets are our shows. People who are familiar with our shows, the puppets are generally bigger. We use often an adaptation of a Japanese-style puppetry called Bunraku. These puppets are smaller, but I think they still carry really well.
Well, also, the movement is quite different, too, because of the Chinese opera styles, and you've been studying that. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we were just talking
about
that.
That's hard. I mean, that's not easy. You've been studying the kung fu and martial art, you know, kind of movement. So tell us about that.
I actually started taking Tai Chi 3 months ago to start preparing for this, and I love it. The movement of each character is very specific, just as their costumes and their looks facially are very specific. So when they come onto a scene, and in a lot of kung fu movies you'll see this, somebody will jump in and go, and freeze
in a certain pose,
and they'll fight for a little while, and then they'll do it again.
Right.
That's just reinforcing who this person is, because they have a certain look in their bodies, their faces, and their voices. And learning that for this guy... I'm still learning that, and I will probably still be learning it by the end of the run. Wukong's thing is his foot is often up in the air to show that he's a man of action.
That's another character.
A monkey of action.
Okay. Oh, Wukong. No, Monkey King.
Okay.
Wukong.
No, he puts his foot up in the air. Right. I've seen that a lot.
Right.
Right.
That or like this. well, watching movies is really fun, and Amy's been watching some Chinese TV shows, and we're going to get together later.
Yeah, we're going to have Chinese TV movie nights.
But the best has been having Rocky and Yuchin come.
Yuchin Wong.
Yuchin Wong, Rocky.
And awesome. They are... Yuchin came from the Beijing Opera, so it's like...
And she had the similar story, too, about the Cultural Revolution, too, that affected a lot of artists in China, where they couldn't really perform the way that, you know, they were trained to perform, and they had to really change or not be able to perform, too. So, yeah, she's really skilled in Chinese opera.
Right.
Incredibly skilled.
Right.
She's amazing to watch and work with, and it's really cool as performers because we don't share a language. Except for that which we are practicing with each other.
But she's a good teacher.
Yeah,
I've taken some lessons with her, so she's a really good teacher. That's great. Well, who else is in the cast?
It's just the three of us, myself
and
Amy,
Lance.
Okay,
great. But you play a multitude of
and
characters.
And a cast of thousands.
Cast of thousands.
Well, you'll see a lot of monkeys and pigs flying around anyway.
Well, I just want to mention, too, that, you know, the Yung Fong, who helped create this show and offered so much, that he did pass away a couple years ago. So almost it's like a tribute to him, isn't it?
Definitely. My main goal is to, you know, respect the legacy that he left us and do it proud.
It's hard, isn't it? It's hard when the master, you know, passes on. But hopefully he passes on.
Look at this thing I have. Right. You can't see it, but you can come and see the show.
Well, general. Yeah, the general.
These lovely things that were carved by this wonderful man's hands.
So there's a legacy and also what he taught, too, and the script and just this production.
Exactly.
So, Tears of Joy Theater presents Monkey King in partnership with the Portland Chinese Classical Garden. It opens this Friday, February 10th. Are you nervous? At 7:30. They're not nervous. It continues through February 26th. It's a short run, but, you know, we can pack them in there, too. You know, it's at the Winningstad Theater at the Portland Center for the Performing Arts. And that's at 1111 Southwest Broadway, basically Broadway in Maine in Portland. And there are also Saturday shows at 11 a.m. Sundays at 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. And it is appropriate for ages 4 and up. I think it'd be a delightful show for the whole family.
Oh, it's certainly.
I mean, that's what Tears of Joy is about, is the family.
For kids and adults alike.
Exactly. Right. And tickets are $12 for children and $15 for adults. You can call the Tears of Joy box office at 360-695-0477. And that's in Washington State, or if you want to call Portland, call 503-248-0557. I'm going to repeat that again, 503-248-0557 for tickets. And we do have a pair of tickets to offer to the third caller at 503-231-8032. And that's for Tears of Joy Puppet Theater. Actually, it's just Tears of Joy Theater, isn't it?
Tears of Joy Theater, right.
And that's the Monkey King. So Nancy Aldridge and Amy Gray, Tears of Joy, thank you so much for joining us today.
And I just got to squeeze in February 17th and 18th, Monkey Wrench Puppet Lab of Seattle are coming for an adult production called Drunk Puppet Night. And it's like some of the most talented puppeteers in Seattle, and a couple locals too, are presenting a variety of different short puppet plays, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
And why is it called Drunk Puppet?
They do it. It's kind of cabaret thing they do in bars in Seattle. Venues.
And where will that be? Here?
It'll be also in the Winningstad.
Okay. However.
And you can purchase drinks at the Art Bar and bring them in.
Oh, they let you bring them in now.
Mm-hmm.
For the cabaret, anyway, for that show. Well, awesome. So, again, what night is Drunk Puppet Night?
February 17th and 18th.
I think you're going to get a lot of people. All right. And you can call the same number, 503-248-0557. And Nancy and Amy, thanks so much for being here today. Oh, it was just a pleasure.
Thank you, Dimay.
Lovely. Come see this beautiful show.
Definitely. Next up, we present conceptual artist Damali Ayo's The Paint Mixers. But first, I came across a piece I produced about 20 years ago for Valentine's Day, and I just sort of dusted it off, and I said, heck, I'm going to play it for a pre-Valentine's Day piece. It's called First Love. Do you remember your first love?
Yes.
Who was she?
Elizabeth. High school sweetheart.
How long did it last?
About a year.
Oh. Yeah. Was it very hard when you broke up?
Yeah, because she went off to college. And I was still in high school. And she met all kinds of new people.
My love must be a kind of blind love. Anyone but you.
I was 15 and his name was Kevin Robinson, and it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were in love. He was cute and kind of freckly, and he was in my French class.
Her name was Melody Rankle. She played trumpet in the band I was in. I was probably 15. Oh, she had this wonderful reddish brown hair that went down to her waist, and her brother had this great car.
He was like student body president, and I was student body secretary. And we went out for the rest of the year and for like the next year. And we were just kind of like the little model couple of the school.
She was blonde and she had a lot of freckles. And she was short. She played drums.
Well, I got married third grade recess, Delroy Walters. Girls won the Foursquare game and we had a wedding. But he had a first bounce fly game right after that, so it had to be very quick.
I was in love with all the girls in grade school, what can I say? The girls' playground was much more fun to play on.
That was the big thing. How many boys you could kiss at recess. But you had to pin them down. And sometimes you had to get three or four girls, you know, because they didn't want to cooperate. You get two to sit on his legs, one to sit on his stomach. You can do whatever you want to him.
Bobby Bryan grew up with me, and we've known each other since we were like 6 months old. But when we got into school, Bobby was supposed to see that I got home safely, and he hated that. So he used to hit me all the way home and make me cry. I cried all the way home. I was grateful for the company. My first love was my husband. Let's see, he was 12 and I was 8 when my family moved across the street from his family. Right across the street from each other, kids, and played hide and seek, and we had our good times.
And I was madly in love with him for 4 years, and he was in love with all of my girlfriends. It was very painful.
Did you ever get together?
Yeah, we did for about maybe 6 months in eighth grade until my mother broke it up. Because, well, I feel that she broke it up because she knew how much I cared about him and how long I'd cared about him, and she was afraid that we would get too physically involved because I sat next to him on his motorcycle seat.
How long did it last? It
lasted my freshman year, and then it was over. He found someone else.
He dumped me. And I had to give back the jacket, which wasn't the worst part.
Why'd you give it back?
I should have, like, burned it or something.
It lasted until I got to high school and found out there were bigger and better things to do, go on to.
And then she moved out of the area. Broke my heart.
I have a lot of good memories. There are bad memories. I feel sad because she's not there anymore.
Do you have a new love now?
Uh-huh.
So it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, new love. And I only have for you.
And this is Stage and Studio. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, and our engineer, Janet Anderson, just told me that my laugh hasn't changed in 20 years, so... My voice has, but not my laugh, I guess. So that's good. That's good to know. Up next, we have another piece, another audio art piece, for her show Flesh Tone Series Number 1. Skinned, conceptual artist Damali Ayo visited a series of paint stores in Portland, and she asked each color specialist to mix a paint matching a different part of her body. She then used the paint in an art installation in Portland that included an entire room painted the color of her left arm and so forth, and a wall of 38 rectangular paintings using the 8 tones collected in this process that she did. Each time she visited a paint store, Damali Ayo recorded the interaction, and she kept a journal of her thoughts during this about each of the paint mixers. Here are excerpts from that journal.
James, left outer forearm by scanning machine, July 15th, 2:46 p.m., neutral base.
How can I help you?
Well, sounds like you can mix any paint color, right?
Just about anything. You give me something, I'll do the best I can with it.
James was my first and my favorite. I was nervous, but I had inadvertently worn a revealing shirt, and I think my nipples showing through provided a distraction. The paint mixers never suspected I was recording them. I asked James if he could match any color. He said yes, and I pointed to my arm. James stepped up to the challenge. He kept saying,
"Never done a flesh tone."
Never done a flesh tone, which I liked because it was the first time I can remember my brown skin being referred to as a flesh tone. I felt I was bridging some important barrier, redefining flesh.
What are you painting?
A white woman asked me, "What are you painting?" as her brown-skinned daughter appeared from the aisles. I smiled at the girl, whom she hugged tight to her as she said, "Isn't that fun?" Don and Dale, left outside forearm by sight, July 15th, 4:15 p.m. Accent face.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, yourself?
I'm pretty good. I want to get a custom color paint.
Okay.
Don and Dale worked as a team. Don compared me to the fan deck of colors, then passed me up the line of expertise to Dale, saying, "Remember how you matched that peach that time?" Dale basically just eyeballed me, didn't sweat it in the least. He hit it on the first try. Pretty impressive. This was exciting because it was a true interpretation of my skin through someone else's eyes. There is something about offering your skin as a color for paint. It isn't artificial. It isn't imported. It isn't coveting something outside of you, a photo in a magazine, a mango, or your neighbor's house. It's there, on you all the time. You own it. You don't have to covet it because it's yours to do with what you please.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
I wanted to match a paint color.
Okay.
Peggy, right palm by scanning machine. August 15th, 11:32 a.m. Tint base.
I just want to match my palm.
Cool.
Peggy didn't seem drawn in by the innate sexuality as the others. Part of the appeal for me is a promiscuity of sorts, these brief encounters that allow me to share a part of myself. To ask someone to experience me and offer a souvenir of our interaction, it's selfish, indulgent, vain, and seductive. And I miss that with Peggy. She didn't make small talk when the paint was mixing. I miss the small talk. Brent, face, right cheek, by sight. August 24th, 4:40 p.m. Ultra bass. Brent was the most intimate of all my paint mixers. He spent 50 minutes with me, and he touched me a lot. I had been single for 2 years at this point in my life, and intimacy came infrequently and from strange sources. I've been at this since 1974, and I've never matched anybody before. He came around the corner and got close to me, tilted my chin just slightly to catch a better light, held the sample up to my face, and always returned to add just a touch more of one tint or another. I have to admit, I was attracted to him. I found myself responding by saying, "Whatever you need me to do," and, "I trust you." I think my subconscious was storing Brent away for some later sexual fantasy.
Heather.
Andrew. Lower back. Deep bass. By sight. Left breast. By sight. White bass. August 24th, 3:30 p.m. Andrew was diligent, honest, with a bit of a cynical edge. When I asked him to match the color of my back, he said, "Is your back a weird color?" The paint store was empty, which offered me a privacy I hadn't had at other stores. After matching my back, Andrew asked, What's the slightly more intimate that you want to match?
It's this part of my breast. See, I'm so much lighter.
We proceeded to mix a color to match my left breast. He said he hoped he didn't get fired for this. He took me to the back of the store. I revealed enough of my breast to offer him room to compare colors. I didn't think he was fazed by it all until he told me my paint was free of charge. Michael, right thigh, by sight, November 20th, 2:21 p.m., deep tone bass. Michael was the last. On matching my skin, he said, "Well, just have him match me, it's pretty close." When I asked him what nude was, he offered, "Like, my arms are one color, but then my butt's a different color, you know, more nude." After an hour, Michael came up with my least favorite color. More of a taupe than a vibrant thigh brown. But hey, this is all about their interpretation, not mine.
That was Damali Ayo in Paint Mixers. She's written a book called How to Rent a Negro, a hilarious and satirical look at race relations that's almost too close for comfort. It's a pseudo guidebook that gives both renters and rentals much needed advice and tips on technique tips provided on step-by-step outlines for renters and to get the most out of their money and how rentals can become successful and wealthy. What they should wear and topics of conversation to avoid. The book also serves up photo dramatizations of some of the popular approaches covered in the book and handy tip boxes, frequently asked questions for renters and rentals. Also a how do I know if I'm being rented quiz and a glossary of important terms. To find out more about Damali or her book, How to Rent a Negro, visit rentanegro.com. That's rent. -a-negro.com. Before we go today, here's what's going on around town this weekend. Men on the Verge 2, starring Andres Acala, runs through the 25th, and it's Friday through Saturday at 8 o'clock. It's $20 to basically $16 to $20. You can call the Milagro Theater or Miracle Theater at 503-236-7253. Dr. Faustus Lights the Lights at the Backdoor Theater is running in Portland at the Backdoor Theater at 4319 Southeast Hawthorne. It runs through February 18th, so catch the show. It's been getting great rave reviews. It's Thursday through Saturday at 8, and there's a pay what you will on Thursdays. So reservations are encouraged. Call them at 503-481-2960. That is Dr. Faustus Lights the Lights at Defunct Theater. And then coming up at Conduit Dance, Catherine Egan and Eggshell performs The Dog in This Here Box. The Dog in This Here Box. It performs February 17th through the 19th, and that's at Conduit Theater. and Catherine Egan and Eggshell. For more info, call Conduit at 503-221-5857. That's it for Stage and Studio this week. We present a Hearing Voices special for Valentine's Day next week. And till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
Saturday, February the 11th, the PCC African Film Festival will host a special symposium and community conversation on the African legacy in Mexico. The program will offer the community an opportunity to learn more about the history and cultural influences of the Africans in Mexico. At 10 a.m., the program will start off with a trilogy presented by Mexican film director Rafael Robayar Corona. The trilogy will include his films The Forgotten Root, From Florida to Coahuila, and his work in progress, Incursion into the Hills. In the afternoon, the director and other experts in the fields will speak on the Afro-Mexican identity, followed by a community conversation with local activists and audience members. Both events will be held in the new Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Auditorium Room 104, at the Cascade Campus on 705 North Killingsworth Street. This KBOO co-sponsored event will be free to the public. For more information, go to www.africanfilmfestival.org or call 503-244-6111, extension 3630.
KBOO Portland.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
What the administration has said is that when it comes to national...